So, guys, I had a topic, but Timmy said he has something to talk about this week on DPS.
I did. This is something that's been a long time coming, but I'm very happy that I get to share this with you all. All right, I just want open and honest reactions only, okay?
I'm going to be mean, whatever you say.
Oh, no.
Why do I feel like I'm under oath? Good
this
Lord.
This is not the court of law, right?
All right. I just want to ask, are you guys ready for this?
Well, I need context of what I need to be ready for.
I think he's going to play the new BTS album. Okay. But, sure. The what?
All right. Here it is.
He's standing up. Tim is standing up.
Oh, my God. All right. He's
standing. Zip up your pants.
What the hell?
Okay, is that a... Okay, Timmy has a t-shirt on with... I think that's Mariah Carey?
Is that Mariah Carey?
That is... Okay, so Timmy has a t-shirt on with Mariah Carey eating a McDonald's meal...
Signed.
I am very confused. Also, Tim, this is an audio podcast.
No. See, that's the thing. We get to describe it, and then hopefully you, the listener, will bug me in the future, and I will actually post the picture of the shirt.
Oh, is that the Patreon goal, $20? Yeah. Tim will wear the Mariah Carey shirt.
Like,
I'm so confused at what I'm looking at.
Yeah, me too.
It's a lot.
Here's the story.
It's quite a bit.
Here's the story. It all happened December 2021. I have the McDonald's app, and I'm not ashamed to say that I use it often. And they were running a very special during Christmas time called the 12 Days of Mariah Carey Christmas.
He was obsessed with this. He messaged me about it multiple times.
Multiple times.
It's like, don't forget to get your Mariah rewards. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Literally, don't forget to get your Mariah. Free McDonald's. Free McDonald's. We're talking free Big Macs, free double cheeseburgers, free nuggies, free cookies on the sound that Christmas Eve. And twice, there were two times that if you cashed in on the free McDonald's, you had a chance to get some exclusive Mariah merch. First day, I ordered too late, so I missed out on the killer beanie. But the second day, I got the mystery, and the mystery was a t-shirt. And then I forgot about it for months. And then I'm like going home one day, and there's a very mysterious-looking package on our front doorstep. And my wife Ariel is like, oh, what's this? I'm like, ah, it's probably something for you. And we open it up and we're like, no, seriously, like I didn't order anything. Like, I don't know what this is. And it's just, I open it up and it's just the folded black of the t-shirt. And I'm like, I don't know what this is. And I unfold it. And lo and behold, my eyes were blessed with a picture on a t-shirt of Mariah Carey eating McDonald's. And there's just no way to just like describe the joy in my heart that I got to relive Christmas in March.
Yes.
Did you at least say I'm loving it? As you
can you stand up one more time just so I can see it?
Yeah.
I didn't get a great look at it. This is absurd.
Oh, she looks like she's loving it.
So we can say it was a Christmas miracle.
Uh-huh. Oh my Lord!
And she has a very specific pose. That I want to recreate later, so.
Jeez.
We have to head to McDonald's.
I just don't know what to think about this. It's so
unbelievably
bizarre.
I need to be funny during these openings, and I'm just, I don't know what to say.
I'm speechless.
I'm the only one that has, like, full view of the t-shirt, so I don't know how I'm going to be able to play with Mariah Carey. Like, with a french fry in her hand, just like, I'm loving it.
I'm totally not being paid for this picture.
I eat this all the time.
There's, like, a big lipstick mark on the top corner.
Yep. Yeah,
right next to her face. Yep. So, like, you know, looks like her giant lips are about to kiss her own face. Like...
And you got a signature, too. Yeah, wow.
And that
I can't decide if this is awesome or the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I think it's awesome, but it's on the knife's edge of being ironic and cool at the same time.
Uh-huh. True.
It's funny, 'cause, like, I'm a person who loves, like, rewards. I like shopping for, like, rewards credit cards and all that stuff. But, like, Tim takes it to, like, a dangerous level. He enters every free giveaway on Twitter.
He's won so many of them.
He's obsessed with the McDonald's app now. And,
yes,
like, he wins a lot of things. It's really, really weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It was like 3 months in a row or something, Tim. You kept winning stuff. And we were like, Tim, what are you doing to win these?
The worst part is for a long time, he was having them shipped to my house.
That's right.
So I'd like get things in the mail. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'd be like, Tim, is this yours? He'd be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's mine.
So, like, yeah, I've had like 4 things that Tim has won just like shipped to my house over the past 18 months.
You've never lived at Kelly's house. I don't know why you keep doing that.
The police got involved that one time you entered that guns and ammo thing.
To be fair, I have like basically stopped entering Twitter giveaways because I win so much.
Oh, no, we had an intervention. We had to sit you down and be like, yeah, stop this.
You were too powerful.
Yes. It was like, I just like felt bad after a certain point. I'm just like, I literally just keep winning.
You're like, dude, why haven't you bought a lottery ticket yet?
Yeah, that'd be the real thing, yeah.
It's like, we need to make it fair for everyone else. You need to stop.
Well, I mean, he's a genius because he's entering like a lottery, but it's only like 60 people.
Yeah.
Enters like, he was entering like all of them.
Yeah.
And he was winning a lot.
Now, this is the true test, okay? Speaking of giveaways, I don't know if you guys know, probably not, but Oreo is celebrating their 110th anniversary this year.
110?
110.
Wow.
They've been around since 1912. Just let that sink in.
I didn't realize that.
Oreos in 1912. Anyways.
110 years of picking crumbs out of my teeth. Anyway. Loving every minute of it, but...
So turning my toothbrush black.
Leads to many of a night of feeling terrible after. I'm like, I'll just have 2, and then whole sleeve.
Whole sleeve. Oh. So they have, like, you can enter daily, which I need to do today, by the way.
Do that
you
after
have a problem.
No, I'm doing it during the recording. They're like, Tim, battle music. Tim. Damn.
Kelly, turn this computer off now. No.
No. But you enter every day and you get to choose one of like 4 or 5 different like wishes because it's, you know, the birthday celebration. The first wish is, oh, have a one-on-one with a pastry chef. And I'm like, who cares about that? Second one is, you can have your dream vacation. I'm like, oh, that's like pretty cool. Third one is... Oh, you can get like a telescope. I'm like, oh yeah,
cool.
Like,
all right, cool.
But like, what the fuck does that have to do with Oreos?
It's made off Oreos.
And then the last one is a lifetime supply of Oreos.
Oh, okay, well that's you know,
it's capped at 65 years, but
well, it's not a lifetime now.
You're
well,
on your
it might be,
on your 66th birthday, a guy shows up with just a silenced pistol and Oreos.
We can't keep doing this anymore.
Or I like to think
your
that
lifetime
just...
is up.
Or I like to think that they're not expecting you to survive that long off of Oreos. They're like, oh, no,
he's eating so many Oreos.
He's eating himself.
He's not
to
getting
death
past
here.
It.
Yeah. So one of the situations where you can like you know the whole, would you rather have $1,000 every week of your life or would you rather have like $10 million now? Like, can you choose like a lifetime supply of Oreos now or one bag of Oreos every week of your life?
No, yeah. I think it's like on a monthly basis.
I was about to make like a world peace joke, but Oreos might have both have the power and the money to make that possible.
You mean like Tim getting back to his apartment and it's just completely filled with crates
of Oreos?
Yeah.
You have a problem, Tim.
You know, when I first was like, I told Ariel, I was like, oh, I'm going to sign up for the lifetime supply. She's like, you with your addicted personality?
Well, see, here's the problem. You're going to get, he's good, because he's going to win. He's going to win the lifetime supply of Oreos, and they're going to show up at Kelly's house.
God damn it, you're right. You're going to send me Oreos every week, every month of my life.
Your garage is just going to be filled.
Mark's going to be like, where's our Oreos, Daddy? When I finally change the address. He's like, can you imagine Brock growing up? Just like he's the kid on the block that gets Oreos.
Yeah.
He's the one that'll probably have all Oreos merch, like the Oreo shirt, Oreo pants.
We're going to have like a filing cabinet in the garage and you just open it up and it's just like, like bags of Oreos just neatly put in like files.
Like at the beginning, it's probably going to be all organized and later it's just dumped in there. It's crumbled.
And yeah, like Child Protective Services coming after my children.
What have you been feeding your kids way too many Oreos.
No, I can't stop them. There's 3 of them. I can't fight them all off.
They just keep stealing them.
I try locking the cabinet, but they keep finding the key.
All because my lazy piece of shit brother-in-law won't change the address on his fucking email.
I'm going to like go insane. Like, I'm going to build a front porch and I'm going to buy a shotgun. I'm just going to sit on it and wait for the mailman to bring Oreos to my house.
No,
like,
no.
Run them off.
No, no. You
get
Kelly, we're going to have to build a wall.
We're going to have to build a wall.
Keep the Oreo man out.
Have Oreo pay for it.
I build a giant concrete wall around my house and just put anti-Oreo graffiti all over the outside of it. Like the Berlin Wall.
We can't keep doing this.
I remember reading something where there was, it was like an Ask Reddit where somebody was like, people that want a quote lifetime supply of something, like, how did it work out? And then there were a few people that said, like, oh, you know, like, it was like once a month I got like a pack of whatever. But apparently sometimes they straight up just send you like 50 boxes full of all like whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, that'd be way more annoying.
Yeah.
Because if I got like 50 boxes of that and then they were just like, that's a lifetime, mm-hmm. I'd be like, okay, but now I have to like put this somewhere and I don't have room in my house.
I don't have storage.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, what are they basing the lifetime supply on? Is it like their serving size? Like, so you just, in the end, you get like
five boxes. They're expecting to get diabetes.
Serving size.
Yeah, that's the real thing. They're like, what can kill him fast enough? We don't have to give him any more.
Yeah. Serving size is like 3 Oreos. I'm like, no.
Oh, no.
That's a lie.
No. Nope.
Well, it's like a box of the frozen dinners. They're like, it feeds a family of 4. I'm like, no,
it doesn't. What? Yeah.
Oh, you joke.
They're probably, whenever they do the math of that, I'm sure they do like, what's like the baseline calories to like sustain a person, and they're like, that sounds about right.
And it's always like in very small print on the back, like, don't pay attention to this, but serving size is like, you know, 2,000. 3 chips.
Yeah.
Tim, please don't send a lifetime supply of Oreos to my house when you inevitably win this competition where you are the sole entry.
No, he's going to win all of it. He's going to get the vacation, the lifetime supply, and he's going to get whatever else.
Send the vacation to my house. Yeah, I'll take the vacation.
I like to think when Oreo was drafting this thing up, it's like, okay, one-on-one with pastry chef, vacation something. I think Greg has an unopened telescope in his garage. Right, I think we can send him. We can send him that.
It's just like random stuff that like one of the CFOs have. That's like crappy gifts he's been given.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I got a telescope.
I got a buddy who's a pastry chef. I got a voucher for a vacation, and I bought this telescope. I don't know.
All the Jeffs who work at Oreo are just sitting around.
Yeah. Honestly, I would love it more. It was like, hey, the Oreo CEO has a bunch of shit he wants to give away, so enter.
Yeah, so his name is Jeff.
Oh, it is?
They're all Jeff. They're all Jeff. All CEOs and CFOs in the country are Jeff.
Jeff.
The world is run by Jeffs.
The world is run by Jeffs.
My manager is also named Jeff, so lines up.
Wow.
Yeah. Tim's director and shit, they're Jeff. My company is run by, like, 5 Jeffs.
5 Jeffs.
Like, no lie. There's like 5 Jeffs that are like the CEO, the CFO, the head of IT.
I don't think
the head of investments.
All fucking CEOs are born on farms and they're raised to be CEOs.
Yeah.
And they're just let out into the world.
If you're lucky, they're grass fed.
Yep, grass fed.
So are you telling me that Boss Baby is real?
Fuck.
Oh my God. Man, you know, of all the universes we were in, I didn't think it was the Boss Baby.
It's kind of the most.
It wasn't the Matrix, it was a Boss Baby.
Honestly, the most disappointing one.
Well, you know, if there's one thing that I would love a lifetime supply of, it's playing Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Oh, man, that's good.
That was pretty good.
I mean, we do have that.
We will, yeah. My other segue was I was going to ask if Mariah Carey plays Pathfinder, but I felt like that
definitely
was...
Definitely not.
No. She's welcome on the pod whenever.
Yeah, Mariah Carey, if you're listening, you definitely are listening now.
Timmy will wear your t-shirt.
Yeah,
I will. Friend of the pod.
Yep, friend of the pod, Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Turns out she's the one celebrity listener we have.
Kelly's gonna said
my name.
Kelly's going to get a letter as a cease and desist.
Sorry, don't mention my name again.
Sorry I said your name. Public figure.
Right. Well, last time you guys were making your way east after you had investigated the skull on the map that was the Elephant Village.
Yeah.
And as you're making your way east, you were accosted by these sloth-like creatures. They were large, and much faster and much more deadly than regular sloths.
So they're not sloths.
They're sloth-like.
They're humanoid bears.
I mean, they have very very large 3 claws on the end of each of their limbs,
made of iron. Funny enough,
yeah. They were cold iron like.
It was pretty cool.
But so you guys are not in good shape after this combat.
Nope.
This was a totally random combat too.
Fuck you.
So
I'm okay. Adler's okay.
roll play out that you guys getting your bearings again. I want to see what you guys are thinking, what your plan is at this point.
Those were not sloths.
No, well, I mean, if you take a regular sloth and you bring to the Mongi Expanse for like 1,000 generations, makes sense.
Yes.
Generally, but I'm very hurt. I'm exhausted. I do not have full strength. I don't know if I'll be able to keep going.
Yes, you look a little pale.
Yep,
I've never... I feel like the last time I remember seeing you look like this was after our fight with the Goblin God. These things must have taken it out of you.
Yeah, it was bad. But, you know, live to fight another day.
Adalar, get a blood transfusion right now. You have O-type, right?
All clerics are O-type.
Enough of that bullshit. Get me some leeches.
As much as I'd love to rest, I'd prefer not to do it in this swamp.
No.
Yes.
Let's make our way clear.
Now, what time of day is it, right?
That's a good point. Where is the calendar? Because we have a calendar that we could use. Calendar. It is... So it is Rova the 5th. It's a Friday. What's Friday in Galarian?
You know, that's the one thing I never understood about tabletop RPG games. Is why can't they just give them the regular names, days of the week? Just, no. It's Tuesday.
Just do what Tolkien did, because Tolkien looked at our regular calendar, and he was like, "That's perfect. I'm not going to change it at all."
Yeah.
And then he just used Earth's calendar.
Boromir, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Everyone always gets his jeans out on Casual Friday.
So yeah. It is. I believe it's nighttime at this point because
it's nighttime.
Well, afternoon, I should say. Yeah, because you guys woke up and then went to the Elephant Village in the morning-ish, and then you came here. So it's late afternoon at this
the
point.
The sun is casting long shadows over the trees right now. So we should get to a drier piece of ground, which
I'm all for that.
So it's fire day.
Fire day, thank you. Yeah, yep. I should remember that.
Everything's on fire.
Why is it fire day? It just sounds.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It's got something to do with Serenry, probably.
Or they just want to shorten Friday.
Yeah. Well, they just transposed two of the numbers or two of the letters. All right. So, what do you guys want to do? Because you guys clearly need to rest. You know that this place is muddy and disgusting because you guys are dealing with like difficult terrain from the ground and stuff. So.
Yeah, if we can just move up and find higher ground.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with Kezra and with you, Benson. I think it is wise we move on for now. We don't know what dangers may lurk, and I'd rather not deal with the muck and mud any more than I have to. And he kind of flicks his little cloak. It's like, I already used my prestidigitation for today anyway, so I have to deal with this until the morning. How I miss the cobbled streets of Jellyax.
Well, we might be able to set aside a drier area and, like, Elkul roll a survival check, as well as start preparing to put branches down to create a insulated barrier between the earth.
Okay. Yeah, make me a survival check. It would be a little bit harder since this is a more difficult area, but...
Well, we're moving on first, right?
Yeah.
To, like, a next hex or something, because it's half a day for a hex?
But it's also dark.
Yeah.
It's also dark.
Yeah, is it afternoon? Is it dark or is it afternoon?
It's late afternoon. Because,
dark.
Yeah, because okay. Because you guys had to travel to the elephant village and then and then you went here. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. All right.
I got 25.
25.
Damn.
That is good enough. I increased the DC a little bit, but you did just fine.
Sweet.
So yeah, you guys use some of the surrounding plant life and stuff to sort of make a foundation, and then you put that up around it. And despite it being way more gross here with the swampiness of the land and the heightened mosquitoes, you guys still managed to fend that off. So good job, Mark. That was excellent.
Yay.
Really pulling your weight, champ.
I remember things from doing camping, so.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, you guys sleep through the night just fine. If you guys want to have any interactions on the night, I know that... Kelly, what's the deal with drained? Can you just sleep it off?
Yes. Your drained condition is reduced by one for every full night's rest you have.
I'm at drained three, by the way.
Can't speed it up.
I'm drained two. You need restoration. I think fourth level restoration to improve the drain condition.
Got that, Tim?
Maybe fifth level. Drain's a pretty hard. Drain's like one of the harder conditions to deal with.
Yeah.
But hopefully, it's not like first edition Pathfinder where it's like you have to roll check, and if you fail that, you immediately down a level.
Oh, let me see.
If you have an empty spot, then you can prep it.
Yeah, because the theoretically, I mean, the if Adalar prepares two of them because I don't know if it's the same rule where you can only use it like once a day or whatever on it, but you could prepare two of them, cast one on Benson, one on Kezra, and then you just have to rest another day.
Yeah. Or does it eliminate it completely?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It might completely get rid of it.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is that I need to be beefy for these encounters, and I'm currently down like 30 hit points.
Uh-oh, here's the debate.
Yeah.
Who gets
what? I get it.
Restoration?
Yeah.
He can do multiple restorations.
Yeah. All right.
He's a cleric.
So, restoration is a level 2 spell, and when heightened to 4th level, add drained to the list of conditions you can reduce.
Oh. Yeah. I play this game too much.
I very rarely ever think, Killy's wrong. Come on. Killy doesn't know everything. No, he probably does.
Wait a second. You also gain a third option that allows you to reduce the target's doomed value by 1.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I can reduce doom now.
That's really good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, it says you can't use this to reduce a permanent doomed condition.
Right.
Ah.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think it would come back the next day or something if it's a permanent doomed condition. No. It just says you can't.
Yeah,
just says you can't.
I can do it at 6th spell level. I can reduce a permanent doomed condition.
And remember, it's a non-combat spell. It takes 10 minutes.
1 minute.
Whatever.
Take that, Kelly.
He was wrong.
Kelly, you're fired.
I'll go get the whip.
You don't know anything, Dad.
Oh, God! Self-flagellation.
Okay, so I can reduce it by 1, and you can only receive 1 casting of restoration per day.
Yep, okay.
So that's all we need.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be a drain 1, but...
That's better than drain
3. Oh, no, it's definitely better.
Okay, all right, so Kelly, Kezra will be back to full?
Yes, I would be full.
Okay.
Restoration doesn't require a counteract, does it?
Let me
That's the only
check.
Other question.
I don't think so.
I don't think it would either.
I think just it
because
just does it.
Yeah, because, there's nothing on this creature's sheet that says anything about, like, a DC against it, so.
Well, also, we...
It would
like,
just be. A, I think it would just be as classic.
Do we want to be pushing into new hexes and all this other stuff while Tim's down 2 huge spells?
Well, what we do is we would sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. I would be down to 1. You'd be down to 2, and then he'd restore both of us. So I'd be full, and you'd be down just drained 1.
Yeah.
So we could drained 1. We could probably manage.
No, that's fine. I don't know if we want to be pressing on with our cleric having 2 4th level spells down.
Well, no, the point is we would sleep, so you would we'd sleep tonight.
Oh, okay,
you'd be restored 1, and then he'd get you down to 1, and I guess we'd just sleep again.
Yeah, and then I'd have my spell back, and you'd be tip top.
All right, we're gonna just take a day vacation.
Yeah, it'll literally be a day vacation.
We'll just see the sights.
Of
playing the swamp like it's a beach.
We could also go back to
beach
the thick
episode.
Nigel. And go somewhere safer on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you guys could always go back to... I mean, the Thornscales had a little camp there that was good enough for them, as sick as they were.
Which hex was the temple in?
The temple was
see the temple,
right here
was
on...
Was across the river.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
We've already forded the river.
Twice. I mean, we could just, like... We could camp on the Vic Nigel. I don't know. No, probably not. It's probably stupid.
Yeah, I mean, Nigel is
with
here,
his,
you know what to do.
With Mark's, with Mark's survival, I think we're probably gonna find a safe place to camp. That's just me guessing, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then plus, you know, Adelar also has a decent survival too. So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think we're fine.
I'm fine with camping in wherever we are right now.
It's rough in it.
Mm. All right, so we're gonna camp for a whole day. So we can get down to no drain.
Yep.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
All right, well, you guys have plenty of time to roleplay, so if you guys want to discuss anything.
Shit.
All right, we're leaving.
Why is nobody roleplaying what I specifically asked for?
Let's talk for 8 hours about how much being in the morning fucking sucks.
All right, so we already did our survival for the first night.
Yeah.
So we're going to sleep.
Yeah.
So we can remove 1 drain, right?
Correct. Yep.
So I wake up in the morning.
Step outside, take a deep breath, get real high. What's going on?
We see a big burly man just singing underneath a waterfall.
His name is He-Man.
Hello there, friends. Look up.
Right, you see,
Kaiju.
You see Adelar. He kind of goes off into a somewhat drier part of this swampish area, and he starts to pray.
Well, Labrador, this place has been very trying for me. I feel completely out of my element. But you have really shown me that different ways of life. I'm used to the cobble streets of Cheliax and a certain amount of order, albeit it's mixed in with some dark magics and demon worshipping, but you know that never bothered me too much. But, I'm sorry, devil worshipping. Devils are the lawful ones.
I was about to say, you're chilly, actually.
Yeah. But, I just want to, thank you for the lessons you've taught. I do feel like this 6 whole adventures has brought us closer together and has given us new experiences, and quite thankful. And we are just, I feel we are lucky just to be here, honestly. Lucky to have found the ring of Alceta, and I don't know what greater purpose you have in this, and you know my past, you know my mother's allegiance to Alceta, so I don't quite know how all these things intersect, and I do think of her often and wonder how she is. Anyways, we got mixed up with some terrifying creatures yesterday, and you're kind of like my magic sugar daddy in the sky, so I think you can help me out with some restoration today. Okay, thanks, bye, love you, bye.
So, I'll never not think of Abadar as my magic sugar daddy anymore.
I just like the thinking of, like, background, just how scoops up some mud while, like, he's praying and just chucks it at his head.
So Benson was doing a very similar thing of talking to Iomri for the day, so he kind of picked up some of that. You know, the gods always tell you that they will put you in situations where they test you. And I've never... Do you know when I felt most at home, when I felt like I was in my place? It was in a church in the middle of the night, and I had to kill dozens of people that were going to kill me if I didn't. That's where I felt like I was supposed to be there. And maybe that's just what it means to be the weapon of Iomide. But here in the jungle, I feel so out of place and lost. But I'm being tested, and I've accepted that. I'm even with people, as you know, he kind of like gestures to Kezra and Elkwood, that I generally wouldn't be with. But the Inheritor came and walked among those that needed the most help. Mm. So I take great comfort in the fact that I am uncomfortable. Because I'm where I'm supposed to be.
Yes. This is, I don't know if you know too much about my past, but born and raised in Cheliax is all I ever knew. I rarely left the city limits because I had a father who was, you could say, a bit overprotective, and I guess I just kind of fell in step with that way of life. I was pretty much the stodgy scholar at the temple. They didn't really invite me out places because I was boring old Adelar, always his nose in a book, and his... So I, something just awoke in me in one day. And called me forth, and I never would have imagined that I would be in such a place as the Morongi. I've read about it, and I've always thought to myself, oh yes, it would be nice to experience different perspectives of life and learn about other peoples, but I thought my course was only through books, and here I am, living in this place of... It's quite incredible. I know I complain about the mud and the muck, and I do despise that, but I do see what you mean about being uncomfortable is exactly the place you want to be.
Another funny thing about the people, the company we keep, it's the first bearer of this cloak, it was almost like a little legend in itself. His best friend and the man that he traveled with for 90% of his time wearing the cloak was an atheist wizard. They were the best of friends. None of the members of our family liked that he spent time with this man. Hmm. But as if we're to believe the stories, they saved each other's lives more than you can even imagine. So we find the weirdest of friends.
Indeed. Indeed. It is. I still think often of that fateful day in Breach Hill. You know, striking out, thinking, oh, what adventures will we have? And right from the get-go, the whole thing was tossed right into the fire, it felt like.
Literally.
Quite literally.
It started with fire.
Literally started with fire. And here we are, continuing through the inferno, but in a different sort, with the cinder claws.
You know, ever since I started on my path, I've accepted that I'm probably going to die. But is that something that you're comfortable with?
I don't think so. I'll be quite honest, Benson. I do, in my daily prayers to Abadar, he does reassure me of the choices of spells that he brings to me, like the one where we bond our lives to protect you. And my healing magics, they have done me great good in my life to preserve my life and others. I think that is something that's always kept me going is the fear of death. I think that's why I cling so tightly to those magics, is because of the fear of death. And I'll be honest, I would expend every last ounce of magic to keep you alive. But I don't know if I can truly, honestly say that I would die for any of you.
And that's why we've never gotten along. Because you keep pulling me back and I keep sprinting towards death.
Indeed.
Then they just start boxing.
And perhaps that is for the exact reason why we are pushed together. Perhaps I need to learn to stick my neck out and you need to learn to pull yours back sometimes.
What is it about men that follow the word of the gods and being sentimental idiots? Let's get the others.
It's like the entire time this is happening, and it's just...
You can hear Elkhold rolling his eyes.
Oh my god! Get a room! Yeah. No, because like the entire time... Because we're still in the same square with those things, the bears, right?
Lofts.
Yeah. You guys didn't go too far from that to sleep, yeah.
So, like, while they're, you know, talking and stuff like that, Elkwood is going to go back to where they are, because I'm assuming the bodies weren't...
Nope, they're
still there.
Nope.
They're still there.
They're still there. Some smaller creatures have probably come by and started to eat them.
Yeah. So it's kind of like he wanders back over there. And it's kind of like taking his precautions and steps, like just seeing, make sure there's nothing else like bigger that might try to go after them. And like Vemir is near him as well, just kind of like fluttering by, and then lands on one and just starts like chomping into it and stuff like that. And
yeah.
And meanwhile, like he's at the teeth, like, because he knows these things are different. Like
yep.
They are. And so he's actually starting to cut out the teeth.
Okay.
And like yanking them out and taking the claws.
Did you make a society check on these things yet?
I don't remember.
Well,
actually,
do it now.
But wait, as Kelly would say, that's your role.
Oh
no, I said I'm not doing that.
All right.
Oh, okay. That's fine because it was a 12.
Oh well. Yeah, you're not sure of these things.
They're sloths.
Yeah, they look like massive sloths. They just have an incredible like tight build, like to their muscle definition and stuff like that.
May I make a society check?
If you went with Elkwood, he kind of went off on his own.
Okay, if he's on his
own. Yeah, because and like he's just pulling the teeth out and stuff like that, just because he knows this is not just regular bone; it's metal. Like these things have metal teeth.
Yeah, they're So as you, I'm pretty sure you felt the bite from one of these. If not, one of them told you that. Yeah, these teeth are much harder than bone. And yeah. So you look at these, and they in fact look like they're made out of cold iron.
Yeah. So he's busy like doing that, and then he's looking at Vimir. Like Vimir's like plunging its beak into like it, and just starts chomping down, along with the other carrion that's like moving around him. And like every so often, he just looks at Vimir and just looks at him and just goes, "So are you going to say anything else?"
Vimir just keeps eating.
And like he keeps working and then just keeps like side eyeing him. He's just, "Are you seriously not going to talk anymore? What the hell was that last time?"
Vimir rips a piece of it off and just looks at you.
Yeah, and like
just keeps eating.
And probably just like the under stress of what's been happening, he's just, "Okay, so I guess you are not talking anymore. Like, maybe it was all in my head, I'm assuming." And he's just kind of like talking to himself, not really keeping mostly quiet about it, but he's just kind of like shaking his head like, maybe that whole experience was more of a daydream or something. Like, he has no idea, but it's causing him to sort of lose a little bit of, like, stability, like, with it, because he's like, "Okay, maybe it was just in my head." Like,
yeah.
But like, yeah, he's just busy going towards these things and just keeps going and watching him like the entire time, but like not really thinking at the time that like while he's not also eating the creatures and stuff that are dead, he's still like not thinking about it, salvaging pieces of them, like not even thinking about it. And so like he's just over there probably for a good amount, because I'm sure digging
takes a while.
Metal bones out. Oh crap, the knife doesn't work. Like,
I'm going to go American literature on you here. Like, there's that part in Of Mice and Men where he talks about men who are on their own traveling, like, they experience things that they don't understand, and since they don't have somebody to confide in, they go crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, you experience that by yourself, and you're not about to, like, share that with any of us.
Oh, no.
So...
Oh, no, because it was a very surreal thing that it's kind of like... Oh, you might think I'm crazy, like, thinking it. Or, like, oh, no, like, yes, I
Well, Kezra's already crazy, so just talk to him.
Yeah, it's true. Kezra technically does have an animal companion that he has, like, looked at it, and it looks like they're doing mental things. But, yeah. I mean, like, that's kind of, like, companion stuff. That's, like, it's... Yeah, it could, like, try, "Hey, so if you ever, had conversations with your animal companion that speaks to you.
Has your snake ever tried to get you to eat dead flesh?"
Yeah. Just saying.
Wait a minute, that was stupidly redundant. Dead flesh, too.
Forget I said anything.
Well, you hear Kezra speak up while you're cutting his teeth out. And he says,
"I know you rangers are all weird loners, but are you seriously talking to a vulture right now?"
And he just kind of turns around real fast. Well... I don't know. It might be stupid to say, but I think Vimir understands what I'm saying and just doesn't reply back in the common tongue.
Understood. Well, I see you have the same idea that I did. I saw those valuable teeth. Felt them.
Oh, yes.
You beat me to it. And he starts going to another corpse and...
I mean, there's three. You can cut the last teeth one. Out of
cutting teeth and claws out.
Yes. Okay, do you want to make a society check?
Sure.
Please, someone just make a society.
Hope for the nat 20.
I'm begging.
Ooh, that's a natural 19 for a 19. I am untrained in society.
Jake's like, son of a bitch.
I mean, so what's the? Good enough. I'm not gonna say it's good enough. Yeah, because like I said, they're creature level 6. So even if it's the 12 plus, you still beat it. So these are called. Asambasams, so Asanbosam. Asambasams are monstrous hairy humanoids with cold iron fangs and muscular limbs that end in powerful hooked claws, which you know. They hide in treetops and grab prey from above, latching onto their unfortunate victims' necks to drain their blood. Locals in nearby communities tell horror stories of these blood-sucking tree folk. And experienced jungle explorers keep a close watch on the treetops in their territories. An Asambasam's diet calls for a large amount of iron to maintain the integrity of its oversized cold iron teeth. When not hunting or mating, an Asambasam spends its waking hours chewing on certain types of rocks to sharpen its teeth. Some folk tales claim that Asambasams are as old as time and are the original source of cold iron, and that the veins of the metal found in the ground are buried graveyards of ancient Asambasams.
That is cool as shit.
Oh, yeah.
Brave poachers often infiltrate Asambasam territory to hunt these monsters in hope of collecting sacks of their valuable teeth. You don't know how many of them have been successful, considering these things are fucking horrible to deal with.
The original origin of cold iron. That is so sick.
Yeah, I bet Thick Nigel could have taken care of them.
Yeah, Nigel got it. He's probably got a bag of teeth already.
Hurry, check the boat.
the first one that started descending on him, he was just like, hello there! Boom!
Just shot. Manly left hook. Just boom!
He knocks out his teeth with the boom.
Well, like, if I'm honest, though, two of these things fucking body Nigel.
Oh, yeah.
Body him.
Yeah. But I love the implication, though. The implication, if, like, these are, like, the source of cold iron, that means are the natural enemy of Fae.
Yeah.
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 Oh, no.
Fae can't fuck with these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, these are just considered humanoid. They're not considered, like, you would also know that they smoke Mwangi, actually. They actually have their own society.
Well, I don't speak.
Yeah, we really need somebody who can speak that.
Well,
it'll be helpful.
Well, it's like, you know, the thing is, I'm like, oh yeah, I could have took a level and learned it, but at the same time, I'm like, nope, suddenly I learned it. Boom. Don't know. Like,
big brain.
I just assimilated for some reason.
Mechanically, they're chaotic, evil, large humanoids. So nice. They're literally just sloth-like humanoids that speak Mwangi that, you're right, Tim, the fact that these things have natural cold iron in their teeth means Fae do not enjoy these creatures.
Yeah.
Or demons, for that matter, oddly enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Kendra's grinding teeth out of these things.
Yeah.
And he just looks, he's looking over to you and he's like, you know, look, I know we've been adventuring for a while. I don't really know a lot about you. And your reaction to Thick Nigel, how you immediately went judging his criminal past, which, I mean, sure. But, I mean, who hasn't done criminal activity before?
He almost gave John a spit take with that.
The second he's like, who hasn't done criminal activity, I just raised my hand.
And Adler's like, oh, not tax-related.
But you seem to know his reputation. I just am curious what circles you might have run in before I knew you.
Wow.
And you just made me think, I don't know much about you, and here I come into a clearing, and you're doing exactly what awful thing I was planning on doing. No. And I'm talking to a vulture, so I think it's not as good a time as any to learn a little bit more about each other.
Oh, well, I mean, he just kind of looks around, make sure, like, Adelar's not there or Benson's not there. And he just looks, he goes, well, I mean, I could say the same for you, as I believe your partner, Adelar, is toting that to worship Abadar, and yet I see, and then he eyes like that one brand on your forearm. He goes, I also know of certain types of people you may have dealt with in the past and may have pissed off. I do have, at a time, worked in some, dare I say, unscrupulous circles, and have figured out the criminal life in Absalom. And it's something I'm rather trying to avoid for the time being. But I worked a bit and trying to start a new leaf, so to speak. But nothing too crazy. It was primarily a lot of, taking care of business of people that have wronged you. If that's something you can get behind?
I get behind any way you can make a living. And I am aware of the heat that is in Absalom. I didn't spend a lot of time there. My former activities were quickly rooted out, and I was run out of that city before I got another brand. So I typically kept to the outer part of the inner sea region besides Absalom. And yes, I've wronged many people and taken advantage of those who would be gullible enough to listen to me. I'm not without skill or without being helpful, but I've taken my fair share of coin that I did not fairly earn.
I'm assuming you didn't mention this to your Adela at all. Or does he actually know your past?
No, he might not be aware of every instance, but he found me in a jail cell in Chovax for ripping people off. Oh. And yes, I do have a fair and fond respect for Abadar. I mean, I don't agree with everything. I think there's always room for wiggle room in negotiations, and I don't think honesty is that important all the time.
I believe honesty gets in the way a bit of business transactions.
Exactly.
As what I've understood is that, for example, my benefactor, I would say, in the city, worshipped Abadar. And he used Abadar in order to get through a lot of business transactions. And I honestly believe he didn't worship him at all, but used his name only. And he made money, and I did not see a single curse on him. So I don't know what to believe in that regard. I believe it's all a bunch of crock.
Yeah, the other two, they believe that the gods are intervening in all of our individual lives, and as you have just pointed out, I think there's a lot of malarkey in that. I think using the gods to your advantage, if you can, is,
I believe,
a way to get by in the world.
I believe it's actually similar to, I thought I believed in something at one point of the Lady Calistria, of defeating or exacting revenge on anyone that has wronged you. But being here, there's things that I've seen or experienced, and I just cannot shake the feeling there's other things out there. Of course, like, I believe that the gods do exist, but I also believe that there are other things waiting in the wings, so to speak. Such as, and you might actually, well, this may sound stupid, but as you may believe, I was talking to Vamir. I have also seen you entranced with little Kezra. Does he speak to you?
Yes, he. He is a bit of a symbol or a conduit of my benefactor. I do not have a close connection to the gods by any means. I think they are useful and they have helpful guidelines. Abadar has been seeking fortunes. But what I truly worship is power, and my benefactor, she is power. And she has promised me that I will be powerful, and I owe her. And my goal, my journey that has brought me to the lowest lows, which I did find in Chelyax, I didn't think that I was actually going to achieve this. But then a very kind priest broke me out. And I've embarked on this journey, and now I am fighting a dragon cult. Every day we move closer to our goals, we find more powerful creatures, more powerful people. My goal is to take that, and then to bring it back to her.
The goals of Doc, I guess?
No. Only what they possess. The things that make them strong. The Dahak. I mean, it's an ancient dragon. He's long dead. Their beliefs are ridiculous. But that does not mean that they do not have power. You see these dragon pillars. Someone is making these. Someone has power that I want.
That is true. Someone has been creating these. I just have no idea. But I guess the question would be, so you worship a... Would I use the word worship, then, for your benefactor?
I'm indebted to her.
Ah. Well,
I owe everything I have to her.
And it's just kind of like he pulls out another tooth and he's just kind of like looking at it. Because I will be honest, when I've
by the time I've gone here and lost Skolt, I wasn't sure why I was here in the first place, but I felt camaraderie with the village up north. I see this place as being a place of purity, in a way. The strong live, the weak die, the world gets recycled into itself. And that is something that I feel I want. I'm not, I would say, after a particular power, but I also want that as well.
Claim what you can get when you can get it. You're only here for so long.
Yes.
As this is happening, you hear like very loud trudging through the
clank, 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 yeah. Clank.
Hey guys,
all these fucking vines.
Heavy fucking armor.
Takes a sword.
Gezra, Elkwood. Elkwood, it looks like we're going to have to be here for another day at least, so we're back to full strength, but I'll be damned if I'm going to sit on my laurels. Would you like to learn my family's training form?
Training form? I would say give me a couple more minutes, and yes.
Leave Kezra to the corpses.
Well, I mean, I was here first.
We're enjoying the corpses together.
He plunges his hand into it, pulls out an R1.
Well, I mean, these are quite valuable.
And I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
But we've done Star Wars references.
I had to bring it back.
Beyond that day, we don't need to use it again.
I would say, give me a moment. Did you know this is all cold iron?
What?
The teeth and claws, they're it's all cold iron.
Perfect for killing demons.
Oh.
Come on, join in!
My family's dealt a little bit in that, but that's a bit more of a specialized thing. That's incredibly impressive.
So these creatures were all cold iron. Huh. But yes, give me a moment, and I will leave Kezra. I'll leave you two picking the rest of them out. You can have the rest if you want.
Fabulous. He gets the bag of holding and he's just shoving
it. Shoving to him.
Oh, that's a weapon right there. You just release it.
Oh, no, that's... No, shove a bunch of these teeth in the blunderbuss.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh. Destroy. Two of them just go right into a demon's eyes and he's like, ah!
No, see, we're going to post a video on YouTube. It's like, OMG, crazy, one-shot Fey Eldritch being. You just have to go collect these teeth and get the blunderbuss from Nigel Thornberry.
I was just going to remember his actual name.
Nope, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, so I feel like during like the conversation that Elkwood and Kezra had, after kind of like during slash after Adelar and Benson's conversation, Adelar was like, oh yes, there is the matter of restoration. So he performs the spell for restoration. And it's like... so much more involved than just a slap on the butt, good game, heal spell. Like
you got to hold it there for a minute.
you got to grip it.
So he, you know, he has Benson like kind of like sit down in like a kneeling position with his palms outward, and he's like, oh, like this and this, and then you see Adelar, he like stands like a couple feet away, and he just is like, you know, miming the incantations and the prayers to Abadar. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, like maybe it's a little cloudy and the clouds like part a little bit and like the sun is like reflecting off your armor, and then you just see this brilliant light kind of enfold you for a second, and your drain condition is gone down by one.
Thank you very much.
And a receipt appears on your on your armor.
It just flutters down.
There's a lot of hidden fees here.
Abadar's magic does not come for free. Yeah. Magic always comes with a price.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, before you know, Benson gets him, like as soon as Benson kind of like comes into the clearing, it's just kind of, and like, oh yes, like I'll join. It's just like he looks the Kezra and like. He's facing away from Benson and just smiles and like nods, like I mean, like keeping us between us, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then like, oh yes, I'm ready to go. Kind of like his personality changes just a little bit.
Well, Kesra, it seems you're just about finished up there. Tell me, how are you feeling today? I think those sloths-type creatures really took some of the vigor out of you. You don't seem as happy as you normally do.
Yeah, I'm a little drained. A little sluggish.
Well, I noticed that Benson was kind of feeling the same way, and you guys seem to suffer the same assault, so I was talking to Abadar today, and he let me know about this magic that I don't think I've read about, but I've never used. It's called Restoration. It is it is as it sounds. It attempts to restore a creature to its former health. Usually, it is only for minor ailments, like if you're feeling like some sort of low poison, or if you're a little frightened or something, but I don't know quite what it is, but like today during my prayers, I felt an increased understanding into how to restore a person's being. It is more than just the physical ailments, but you know how they say that the life is in the blood? Well, I think that extends beyond just the physical. So here, let me, I did this with Benson. He has quite a hearty connection to the gods, so it wasn't too hard. I'm sure Iomide lent the hand in the restoring of him. But let me see if I can, let me just see what I can do.
So he has you, you know, kind of sit down in like the same position, you know, palms outward, you know, like you're receiving. And you see, you know, Adelar like begins like the miming the things. And like the same, kind of like the, almost the same thing happens where like you see like the light parting through. But instead of the light kind of like encompassing you and like there's like a glow of like, you know, radiantness, there is, it just seems a little dimmer, a little cold almost. And you see like, you know, it takes like a minute to cast. So you see like Adelar, like it's like the 30-second mark and he's like focusing his magic and he just like a little bead of sweat kind of pops up and then he like finally finishes it. And once again, like the glow just isn't as radiant. And like after he like kind of breaks it, he's like, "Oh, that's a little harder. I have to say, Kesra, it felt quite different. But no matter, I'm just getting used to this. It is a new magic for me, so I apologize it took so long. but tell me, do you feel any better?"
I think so.
He's like, "Oh, it burns! Get it off!"
How's my complexion?
Well, you definitely look a little more lively. I see a little
more gray.
You're as gray and beautiful as ever. But real quick, turn your head to the left and cough.
Yeah, you were kind of a pallid gray, but it does seem to just you seem like
now you're a heather gray.
You went from pallid to vibrant gray.
I think I'm feeling good. I'm a little worried about you, and maybe you should have stretched first.
Yes. I do. We had some monks of Abadar. They would try to get us to, you know, take care of our bodies.
Gotta limber up.
Yes, yes. They do say that, you know, healthy body, healthy mind, right?
Indeed.
It could be. I don't know. This place is wearing me a little thin, I fear. Tell me, how have you been faring?
You know, finding the staff has been a mission accomplished for me. And, You know my goals here. My goals are enrichment. I'm not bashful about that.
A noble pursuit, I might add.
Yes. So I'm perhaps murdering some more evil cultists will lift your spirits and bring Abadar's grace.
Indeed, Abadar does like to bring order, and these worshippers of Dahak, they certainly relish in the disorder and the random killing of beings. It seems it's quite distasteful. It's It's nothing like anything back in Chillax. Back at Chillax, if you wanted to kill someone, you had to go through the proper channels.
There's order, goddammit!
And then there was something called a blood tax that you had to pay afterwards.
How about Benson? You. He seems a little better than when we left
Acrovilla.
Acrovilla. Yes, yeah.
That place.
He seems a little better off there, but, you know, I don't know much about your conflictions with your guards, but...
Oh, yes.
And all that, but...
Known enemies.
How do you think he fares? Do you trust him?
One of the things that we talked about is how... When we set off to Breach Hill, we never quite imagined that, you know, the places that we'd be taken, we had a sort of rhythm and comfort in, you know, Benson is all about, you know, being the sword of Iomide and rooting out those, you know, defectors. And, you know, I'm all about, you know, balancing the books back at the Great Temple and of Abaddon Chelyax. And we were both called, like, out of our comfort zone, as it were. And I think that this whole experience has really shown us just how little we know of the world beyond and how much there is to learn. So I think Benson is, despite feeling a sense of, you know, lost, unclear direction, I think he is starting to find a more clarity of purpose. And, you know, they do say that, you know, time away from the big city can help bring perspective, and I think I am finding that to be true as well. It is quite a change, but I think we're adjusting all right.
Yes, yes. I agree. I think we're learning how to better support him, at least in his reckless ways.
Ah, yes. Yes.
But if he is guided in the right direction, I think he is a major asset to us. I certainly don't like taking axes to the face so much as he does.
Indeed, yes. Hatchets.
And then Benson will speak up again, because he's off with Elk right now. He's like, Kezra, actually, now that I think about it, my family hasn't really accounted for a weapon such as yours, that gauntlet. I would love to see how it works. So if you want to come, it's a little experiment, if you'd like to learn a form yourself.
Fair enough.
Okay, so he gets over with Elk and Benson. So this this is a traditional start to a sparring match. It's from a deeply religious family, as you can imagine. It's very symbolic, but there is actually a reason for it. So, Kezra, if you want to observe, Elk, face me and stand about 5 feet apart from me.
This should be good.
You are a terrible foe, Elkwood, so I imagine this is going to be very competitive. Normally we'd use blunted steel, but we don't really have that to work with, so I'm just going to trust in your restraint.
Adelar, get over here.
All right.
Just start channeling to your hands, like ready to slap.
So, normally, since I am using a shield and a sword, I would put the protective side of my armament. He places his shield over his heart, and then you would take, in your hand, since you're using a two-handed curved sword, you would raise, on your dominant hand side, you ready? Raise it up and put it slightly above your head and point your head downwards. I raise my sword hand up slightly above my head on the opposite side. We look down, close our eyes. Now, since I am a paladin and I trained to be a paladin, I protect that which is important, my heart. I raise my sword because, as a black, our swords are our identity above my head, because my sword arm is more important than my mind. So, we do this, and then we count to three audibly. 1, 2, 3. We raise our heads and look at each other, and the second our eyes make contact, we spin out and do a sweeping strike and strike in the center. Our blades connect. That is the starting of the sparring match. Now, it is very symbolic, but the reason for that is both opponents are starting on equal footing, and they know exactly when the match starts. That means the better fighter will win. So, how about that?
Well, certainly a change, especially all the combat around here, so worth a shot.
It's you have to think in the moment. What is your next move? Yes. So, shall we give it a shot? And then maybe you can go with Kezra.
Maybe make this more even and take off all your armor.
Why would I handicap myself?
As you're comparing ACs, I'm like, okay. We'll work on this.
Sure. All right.
We'll give it a shot.
Raise. 1, 2, 3. Go!
And just...
All right, so if you guys want, you can do swings at each other. You can just do non-lethal damage with your weapons.
Yeah.
So yeah, PvP, go.
Oh, a 2 on the die, Benson.
Oh no,
so that's sad.
Let's see here.
Your kids are going. Ah!
All right, let's see.
Get a milk.
Not quite at full strength, yet, Benson.
No, it's clearly not.
You know the worst thing is of like hunt prey. I guess.
How much of an asshole do you want to be?
Well, I have to hit you.
I don't have my shield raised.
Yeah, but you're still at like 20, you're still at 28 AC, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's let's see, strike here. Oh, and let's see how this works.
Oh, I think you probably hit me with that.
No.
Oh, that add your plus.
No, that was a 5 on the die, so we both miss.
So we check each other's blades and we go for the second swing.
Nice.
Okay, that's probably gonna hit you.
What is it?
Hold on, let me get my character sheet up.
Yeah, you can just roll from your character sheet as well.
Yeah, I'm still learning how to use it.
Yeah,
that's 14 plus
30.
Yeah, that hits. That hits.
Yeah, and so did you hit me?
No.
Okay. So at
no,
first,
I rolled a 5.
At first strike. Ben pulls away and goes, and that's the end of the form.
Oh.
Till first strike.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Interesting.
I like that, till first strike.
Nice. So, Elkwood, Kezra, I'd love to see you two guys. I guess you would just raise your hand above your head, Kezra.
Sure.
Yeah, actually with his other, with his like, he does. He gets in the form with his claw up. But then he also cast shield on himself.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That tracks.
Yeah.
No, you're not doing it right.
You get the shield.
I didn't use it.
All right. So.
1, 2, 3.
And you see Kezra's eyes glow at that moment. So he will take the better of 2 strikes.
Yeah. That's a 19 on the die.
Damn.
Wow. All right. Well, I got a 29.
That would hit me.
Wow. So what?
Wait, who rolled higher?
Who's higher? What's your total? Are we just taking the dice value?
Yeah.
Okay. So then he bends. I got 15.
Yeah.
It's like if you beat the AC, you strike.
Right.
But whoever gets the higher roll is the one to check first.
Okay.
What's 19 plus 16?
35.
Yeah.
Jeez. That would have hit me.
So Kezra's super confident. He cheats and casts True Strike on himself, but still gets struck first.
You're a terrible foe, Elkwood.
Nothing against people with no armor.
Well, it certainly helps.
He only got me because his sword's longer than my arm.
Well, it's your fault for taking a gauntlet as a weapon. What happened to your the halberd that you had? Or the spear?
Oh, it was getting in the way of my spellcasting.
Yeah.
Yes, so this is how we would train for long stretches of time, round after round, just speed versus power versus who is the best fighter. That it made you think that way. So it's steeped in a lot of symbolism that doesn't technically mean anything, but the idea is sound.
I like its evening of the playing field, even if
in that
a more
moment,
advantageous person.
In that moment of combat, when you strike steel and you're in the exact same footing, there is no advantages. So, it helps.
It seems like only force of will would prevail at that point. There's one thing that Elkwood has. He has great force of will.
That's my worst skill.
I actually have a terrible will.
The will is my worst, actually.
I'm glad you think that way.
Wow. Yes. Okay.
Very good will save.
How did you see me that way?
Passive deception DC is like 25.
Yeah.
But Alor, did you see him cheat? Did you see him cheat? Isn't that against the law?
I'm quite aware of Kezra's tactics, and I do think that. Kezra, as a worshiper of Avatar as I am, I think he frowned upon.
I think he should get punished.
Well, no, Elk, no, I think
not
that...
punished. I think you met your own punish by trying to gain unfair advantage in this holiest of forms.
I think, Elk, given your and I's different upbringing by the sword, I think you are at a fairly unfair advantage. So well, I wouldn't hold it against him.
Possibly. One would say. But that's interesting. I've never been in a fair fighting sense, I guess, in this regard.
What was your total? Trained.
35.
Yeah, you would crit me anyway. Even with the pluses to AC I was having.
Oh. All right. 3d8 plus 5.
See, you get Kezra like right in the side of the kneecap.
Blow out his knee. All right, we gotta wait another day.
Oh, God, my old soccer injury.
So where did he play soccer?
Oh God, my ACL!
Oh my God! How did you know? Who told you?
Adelar, I need Avatar's dimming light on me again.
What? Elk, you fucking asshole!
I was betting on him. He was on my fantasy football team.
I'm literally imagining like Kezra just like on some like at some like pickup game of soccer. Like Kezra's like he's not the greatest, but he's also not the worst.
He's in Little League, even though he's a full adult. He's just kicking kids in the face.
What, I'm 13. I'm big for my age.
Just some kid just comes up and like does like an illegal slide tackle, but like the ref doesn't call it. Call it.
Yeah, because even the ref's like, fuck that guy.
Kezra would definitely be like the Cuban baseball players who fake their credentials when they come to the U.S.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he's 13.
Yeah.
Got like a full beard.
He's just much matured. Oh, a little faster.
You guys spar in the afternoon, and knowing that Benson has to rest up again in order to get back to peak performance,
yeah.
You guys settle down for the night again.
And I'm like, well, now's a good a time as any. It's been a while since we've held a service. I have the book of numbers right here.
Okay. And he puts you all to sleep. Reading the book of numbers.
It's kind
of
like a
Jake's like, no, fuck you. Going to bed.
It's kind of like a side-eye glance he gives to Kezra, and he's just like...
Kezra's like, believe me, best night of sleep you ever have.
He's like, well, you put this number over in this column, this will add your taxes, and this is your income, but then you have to add this over here.
Here's a good way to figure out a tip. It works every time.
Let me tell you about a 1099C.
In the morning, you all wake up, Benson feeling tip-top shape. You guys have well-rested, and not far away, you guys hear... And I'll see you guys next time.
Let's go! No, please!
Get back to killing.